Well, it's been a while since I've been here. I see there's a lot of changes. There are people that I knew as tiny little children, I guess, and they're getting up there where it'd be hard to recognize them. And, hey, you're looking good. How about that? Everybody's looking good. Old black sheep over there, what are you doing? Hey, you look good. I bet you're doing good, too. Everybody, that's nice. How about you, Ann? Doing good? That's good. I can't remember names too well. I gave up trying to remember names and faces. It's much easier. Of course, when you have to come out of that oblivion, it's much tougher. Pretty hard to remember. I see you're carpeting. That's a lot like we had when we were over there in Quincy. It's nice. And you got new pews since we're here? That's good. Good, you know, progress is good. A lot of people, you know, they get a little bit too, what would you call, spiritual for the Lord. And they want to go back almost to the horse and buggy. I was just about horse and buggy yesterday getting down here on the jet. They messed me up. Hi, Tony, good to see you. And they messed us up. We had about 6 hours longer than we anticipated. And about that time, I was thinking time and eternity had not quite mingled. Or maybe it had. And the wait was long and boring, but it was good to get here and see Jeanette and Jack. And I was just thinking this morning about this church here and to the churches I used to go to and don't go to anymore. It seems to me that being in this church is about as close to being home as we pretty well get anywhere. I've been to different places, and this seems more like home. I think maybe because it's easier to preach the message as I believe Brother Branham revealed it to us. Of course, I could be wrong, but personally, I don't believe I am wrong. And I'd like to find somebody to prove me that I am wrong. I just asked one question. What Brother Branham talking about when he said, I was not the one that appeared down there at the river. I was the only one who was standing near when he appeared. I'd like to know who appeared, what he did, where he is, what he's doing, if he is. Those are the things that I need to know, and these are the things I believe we do know. That's why we teach what we teach and take the sermons word by word. You realize this Melchizedek. Who is this Melchizedek? We're not quite finished with that in the sense that we're still talking in terms of question and answers. That'd be about 35 by 1.5 hours. 35. That's a lot of hours. It's 52 hours. And a little better. Yeah, because one of them was longer. I wanted to close it off. So it took a lot longer in doing it. And I don't know if we'll ever finish it. Actually, you could take one of Brother Branham's sermons, like opening the Bible and finding 1,000 different things in just one paragraph. So, it's good to be here, and whatever comes out of the questions, whatever comes up. See, I'm not really prepared to preach because I'm lazy. And, you know, you people don't think that's true, but a man tells you the truth, you don't believe it. Tell you a lie, you believe it. Funny, funny situation. And this life we live, but see, I'm lazy, so I take Brother Branham's sermons, and I look at the sermons, I kind of try to feel led. Now, that part is, that's also lazy. You know, I'm going to prove it to you. Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, right? We do believe he did, either in a vision or somehow he got there. And whoever it was said to him, you were a born leader. I never saw Brother Branham lead anything. You talk about a man that didn't lead. He never led anything. But he said, I got a gift, and it's getting out of the way. So who do you think led? See? So I try to be, without knowing, a little bit like that. I'm lazy. I don't try to really study or try to work at anything. I just try to sort of, you know, what? And something begins to sort of move. And that way you can be nice and lazy. And at the same time, you can be in the will of God, because if the Lord doesn't build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And the Lord doesn't keep the city to watch and watch it, but in vain. So everywhere in the Bible, you find a very lazy people dedicated to the rain and the sunshine. And when Israel forgot that, they blew it. William Branham never forgot that he had a gift to get out of the way. And that's the greatest gift there is in the world, to learn to get out of the way. And anybody who saw William Branham and made anything of him worshiped the creature more than the Creator. Because William Branham would tell you, I am nothing, but I'm so happy I can point you to him who is something. So you see, there's not a lackadaisical spirit that God commends, but it's a get out of the way spirit. You know, God wants us to be lazy. Now, I don't mean lazy where you're going to sit back and let somebody else make your living. I'm talking about us and God. Now, and he said, you are to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. I'm afraid that too many people are forgetting to sweat. Now, you need it. Otherwise, you know, your skin is your biggest organ of elimination in your body. Now, if you don't sweat, kid, you are sick. So God wants you to work. But when it comes to God, he wants you utterly lazy and laid back. That's faith. See, you understand what I'm saying? Brother Branham was that kind of a person. He knew how to get out of the way, and he didn't take leadership. No, sir, he ducked that every single time. People tried to get me to do that years ago, you know, and they said, well, Brother Vail, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And I said, hey, this leadership is for the birds. I said, look, I've hit my head in the sand all these years, and I'm so full of buckshot. And you know what part's full of buckshot. I said it flat. My rear end is full of buckshot. That I couldn't walk on the water even with a miracle. You think I'm so stupid to stick my head up and get it blown up? Right. So you point to the Lord at all times, because if God doesn't do it, it'll be done, but it'll be done wrong. See, it'll be done wrong. That's the bad feature of the whole thing. To get things done, you don't need to get things done. What you need to do with the Lord is get out of the way and let him do it. You know, Brother Branham made a statement about it, a different, he made concerning Hattie Wright. You'll say the right thing to Fred Bark, you say the right thing. He never said that to me, but I learned to go beyond what Brother Branham said, is to think the right thing. This wrist here was just like a complete toothache, like you stuck a piece of metal in the joints. And it was getting me to where I couldn't move it with arthritis, so it was horrible pain. And you know what really bugged me was that I couldn't pick up little Martha Barattis as she came running. I didn't mind about the pain, but I thought, God, how am I going to talk to this kid and tell her I can't pick you up, honey? She's my sweetheart. See? Little kids that don't know any better. You sort of seduce them with nickels and dimes and quarters and, you know, treat them sweet and love them. And they're suckers, you know, every time for it. Little kids are wonderful. So how am I going to pick her up? And one day going down the road, it was on Highway 47 in the old building we used to be in, and I remember I could take you to the very spot, I think, where it happened. I was just thinking how that they crucify the Lord to themselves at the last day. They crucify the Word. And when Christ died, the life physically, when he was upon the cross, the life poured out, bringing the double cure and bringing the healing and bringing all those things. And I thought, I'm going to go to church and preach that. And I got so animated in my soul and my mind, just thinking how it is that life came out and what it did, that it was gone. Never come back, never will. Brother Branham mentioned that sweet spirit coming into the church. And that's when things begin to happen. When you begin to realize, and you got to realize what people are, what they mean, because they're children of God. And not just that, because, you know, the Bible speaks of those who love each other amongst the hypocrites. And he said, what reward do they have? I'm going to tell you something. They have a doggone good reward, though it doesn't get them anywhere. They'll never get any credit for it. It won't amount to much in the eyes of God. But love amongst people, any people, is a terribly fruitful thing. But when you have the love of God, you know, I preached years ago, and I had to preach it, not knowing why I preached it. Love is hypocritical as well as genuine. And there's only one love that God really honors. But in nature, he'll honor everything that he put down in the law. Like Eve said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And Brother Branham said, the most ordinary, rotten prostitute can have a baby. And it came from God because it's a law laid down. So is the love. But there's a love that comes out of the Word. And I never could place it. You heard me say it on a tape. I never could place that love until one day, years afterward, it came. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And there's only one conduit for that love of God by the Holy Ghost, and that's the Word. And so there's a love that comes out of the Word. We try to teach our church, and you know from the tapes, and you know Brother Jack does the same thing, that if this church is not built solidly on a doctrinal understanding of the Word of God, a true revelation, I don't care what you have. It's good. Oh, sure, it's fine. It's not going to do too much for eternally. Now, that sweet Spirit of Christ can only come through the Word. And the people must have an anchor. You can't anchor in your pastor. You've got to depend upon him for the Word. And he's in an office. You just leave him alone. If you fuss with him, you're gone. I just tell people flat. In this, the pulpit I'm in at home, I can take any criticism, but the criticism of the pulpit. You can have it, and I walk out. If I'm obligated to God to bring this Word, I'm obligated. You keep your nose out of my business, I'll keep it out of yours. And we have a tie post, which is a doctrinal Word of God, which is the true mechanics which the Holy Ghost must work through. Then, brother, sister, if that's true, you will have a people that are word-centered. Oh, I know our kids are second generation, and I know I can know all the mysteries and still not have the Holy Ghost. I know that, but also you cannot have the Holy Ghost in reality without that same Word. So don't fault it. Learn where your loyalties are. When that loyalty is built truly upon the Word, you'll cease looking at each other. You'll begin to see the good and the love and the kindness. And you'll pull out of that preacher things that he never dreamed of saying. And if you're here this morning starving, let me say one thing. You deserve to starve because you're not hungry. You're a critical hypocrite that doesn't know the first thing about the things of God. You talk about God and William Branham, a prophet of the Word, and you're sitting here dead as doornails, but you're not. What does it? We have one hope, which is a revelation. My hope is Jesus. You're crazy. Jesus without a revelation, Jesus' blood without a revelation, without you coming to the light is condemnation. The same one that came here in his presence came for two reasons, to edify, commend, and condemn and destroy. And let me tell you, flat Noah was in the flood and ready to rise before judgment came. And the same one that came with those angels was right back here. That same one came with condemnation to the world, but commendation and vindication to a bride. When you begin to see where you stand on this Word and what it's about, the love can develop in spite of yourself. Let me tell you, I am an aloof person. I am edgy. I am hedgy over years and years and years, but it's going down the drain. And in spite of myself, I've got to love. Because there's a life in the Word. It's easy to sing about the life that's in the Word. What do you know about it? You don't have to know anything about it. Just know if you got the real Word, something's got to come out of it. No Word of God is void of power. Brother Branham, speaking of Jesus, said, the words I speak are spirit and they are life. And that's what it is. And so Brother Branham said, the sweet Spirit of Jesus one day will come into the church, and the gifts, as it were put on the shelf, and they are put on the shelf. Because love doesn't come out of gifts. Gifts breed problems. Oh, you say the Word does. Sure it does. But where gift breeds problems and goes into the oblivion because the day of age of gifts is over, Brother Branham told me categorically, hear the tapes yourself and you'll find out for yourself. But I can tell you, the Word of the Lord endures forever. And though it may cause some problems in the church amongst their hearts and all, that word must bring forth eternality and immortality. And the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ, and one day in the church, will begin to form that love and that sweet spirit until the very sick are healed. Don't tell me it doesn't happen, because it's happened in ours already. And I'm not standing here as a sign, but you look at Lee, they look at our church. Hogwash. 172 seats, could go 772 directions tomorrow morning. But by the grace of God, it ain't. And the sick get healed. I'm looking for more and more. I can't stand to see little kids sick. Why should they be sick? Tell me one reason. What did they do? What did anybody do? Really? An old song, judgment is past, the long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hush the dreadful wail and fury in the blast. It's o'er the distant hill. The dawn approaches fast. The Comforter is coming. Why did Brother Battle say shalom? Sure. Because that's the truth. Yeah. You couldn't help yourself hearing the call of the eagle. What did you respond to a message for? Why? What are you sitting here for? You tell me. Something you did, something you figured, something you thought, something you wanted. People come by and say, oh, Brother Bell, look, and I'm saying Bell is, because that's the pastor here. Everybody's pronouncing my name like his. I got a phone call this morning, said, Brother Bell. I thought, I said, Brother Bale. I said, yeah. Now she figured, you know, my voice was like, you know, recognizing my voice. I finally said, hey, who am I speaking to? So she told me she had problems. She'd been sick and what have you. She thought she was talking to Janet. She's wanted a prayer request. Well, I said, let's pray right now. I knew you folk were praying. Let's pray right now. I believe she's healed. At least you got her answer. Why not? See? All right. Speaking of these things here, our church, we got no big church. Say, Brother Bale, you got a big church. You got this, that. No, you don't have that. You don't have a big church here either. We don't need it, but we need that sweet spirit of Jesus Christ coming in. For the healing of the sick, who knows if the dead will be raised. Ananias and Sapphira, I don't think Ananias and Sapphira are necessarily going to be killed, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You're going to find people to get together and plot to destroy and overthrow. What's the difference? What does it really matter? Because you got the word of this hour that counts. As I was saying, listen, not one of you in our church or my church figured, hey, I'm looking to this thing. This is something I figured out. You were brought into it irresistibly the same as you were brought to the cross of Christ by predestination. Brother Branham categorically said in Melchizedek, he said, I'm supposed to be in the pulpit preaching, you're supposed to be in the pew sitting down there listening. Absolute sovereignty, known to the foundation of the world. And as I said a while ago, leading up to this very thought, people come in here and say, oh, I believe this, I believe that. They drift away. Let them drift. How many of you think are going to get in the ark? The wise and foolish virgin composed eight. Brother Branham said, one out of eight virgin. Wise. How many are there? See, you look at Brother Branham's ministry. All these things about Brother Branham and his church and all, very, very difficult to look at and say, well, where are the people there? Why don't they believe as we believe? I guess they weren't meant to. They weren't meant to. Why don't other churches believe as we believe? I guess they weren't meant to. I don't have to guess they weren't meant to. I know they weren't meant to. Years ago, people said, well, hey, I believe this, I believe that. Well, Brother Bale, I believe like you. And I said, now, hold it. I didn't tell them their faces because I wouldn't be rude. It isn't right to be rude. You can, you know, refrain. I'd talk to my wife or someone and say, hey, there can't be that many people believe what I teach because that's too many. That's too many. Well, one day he's going to get us out of here. But anyway, I'll answer your questions. I don't have too many here. So I'll talk about something a little later on, but just wanted to kind of feel at home again. And I'm off the road, and I'm glad I'm off the road. I feel so much better at home. In fact, I got so sick 4 years ago that I have no desire to be on the road. I have no desire to be anywhere, except I'd like to feel comfortable. I don't know that Paul felt too comfortable in jail, so I don't think I got anything too good coming to me. But in the meantime, I'm certainly not going to go back to the horse and buggy age. I'm not going to wrap myself in mohair or what do you call camel hair like John the Baptist and eat locusts. Not if I can sleep in a good bed and eat good food. kind of like. But it's nice being home and not on the road. So you don't see much of me. And in the last few years, I haven't even gone to Brother Miller's church. I used to go there quite often. Haven't been there for about 6 years, 7 years. Last year, I went to Brother Paulberg. I didn't intend to preach, but I took so much of his time, I felt guilty. So I took a little time with him. And so this is the only place that I am coming to, and I didn't really intend to preach here. So I'm not going to preach, just talk to you. And this will be it. So we love you. Appreciate you very, very much. And whether my face shows it or not, because I'm not giving to grinning, you know, too much. My eyes sparkle more than anything. You can tell if I'm dead. My eyes have no life in them. You know I'm dead. And they're gone. But that crazy look doesn't come in my eyes at the same time they sparkle. You know, I'm really dead. Because I always say things with a kind of a backhanded compliment or a little tricky phraseology, because it's a kind of a facade, a little protection, so that I don't get, you know, too chummy and too nice. Sentimental is the word, but I don't like using those words because it means you're human. And I would sooner not be considered too human. And you don't expect too much of me. So anyway, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness, your mercy to us, Lord. It's a privilege to be with these lovely people, and we have faith and confidence in them, especially knowing, Lord, what they believe, not that we are any criterion or something that's specially ordained of you, Father, to set any temper, any pattern within the word, Lord. But personally, Father, I do believe that I believe correctly, or I would not be teaching the people, knowing there is great condemnation to do so. Then, Lord, also knowing that if there is the truth in what I am teaching and what is being taught here, then, Lord, we have to stand with it no matter what happens to us. As the prophet said, live, die, sink, or swim. And he didn't say how to live or die. They could take our lives or anything else. And we know that whether we go up with the word or down with it, we have to believe in this. This is our, without controversy, Lord, this is our ordination and this is our predestination. So we thank you for that. And so, Lord, we'll stay with it. What we see. What we don't see, we look at, Father, and admit we don't see too clearly. As Paul himself said, we see through a glass darkly. At the end time, we weren't supposed to see except through the glass clearly, but we don't know what all that means. It doesn't, I know, Lord, it doesn't necessarily mean we'll have every single answer or the ability to express it. Even the prophet said, I know what I mean, but I don't know if you know what I mean, because I don't know that I can express it. So, Lord, we know we're all here in that particular boat today, and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that we're lacking in faith. We know that. It doesn't mean that we're off some end of the stick somewhere, Lord. It just means that we're people, that's all. We're human beings. By the grace of God, we're the elect of God, the sheep of God. So, Father, we thank you for that this morning, this happy privilege of being here, and pray, Lord, something will be said beyond what was said already. Might be a blessing and a help to everybody. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, a couple of questions here. I can answer them in one breath almost. One is pastoral. Pastoral one is one that makes me wonder myself. I don't understand this. And that is, it has to do with the ladies, and I don't want any lady to feel bad here, because the women are a type and men are a type, let's face it, and God ordained the type. And there isn't any type that is evil in the Bible, but also there is always the positive good side, like a woman types the church, but she also types the bride. Now, we know the church is a miserable setup, wretched, miserable, blind, a prostitute, enjoying her nefarious affairs. She's just wide open to pollution. That's a woman. But just a minute. The woman is also a bride, all glorious within and without, and more wonderful than king's daughters, because she is a king's daughter. And you read the songs of Solomon, you read the Psalms in there, and you can read in Proverbs, and all through the Bible you can read about the woman, and you will find that she positively is a marvelous, marvelous individual, but she's got the types that run true, the negative, positive. Then you look at the man. All right, you look at the man, and you never hear of God being talked as a woman. But then neither do you hear Satan being talked as a woman. So what's Satan talked at? As a man. So now you've got a man typing God, like Abraham the father. You've got the different ones that run in a line of type. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ was a male. But on the other hand, you positively see the devil, and you see the fallen angels. They're sexless, but they're referred to as men most of the time. And then you see the Antichrist, and he's a man.
Now, you got to ask a question. What in the world could be lower than Antichrist? Nothing. What could be lower than the church? Nothing. They're one. So you don't say a woman is this, a man is that. You go away with some exalted idea of your malehood. That is a lot of hogwash. Because the man is not without the woman is not without the man, they're one in the Lord, and it gives you certain warnings in Scripture, especially to the man, because he's a little bit too macho, like you had men running around here, they're the macho males. They broke up homes, they messed everything up, where are they today? I don't have a record of messing up homes, I have a record of keeping homes together. Brother Bell has a record of keeping homes together. You know, if a macho male is the stupidest thing in the world, the same as the woman who flaunts herself like she's a Marilyn Monroe. We look at, come on, we're not looking at beasts, we're looking at the Word of God this morning. So, when we talk about women, please don't get the idea I'm a woman hater. Now, I am not a woman's man. You understand that. I simply am not. I could walk down the streets of Lisbon, of Los Angeles. I could walk through Red Light District, and no prostitute will give me your eye. I'm a dead duck to her. That's not my line. But it doesn't mean I'm sexless. But I'm not a great macho man, as some descriptions say, some great bird. Now, looking at this thing then concerning women, I say I'm not a woman's man. I simply am not. I don't know that I'm a man's man too much either, because I like to cook. I'm like, hey, Demas, now cut it out. There's, never have faith in a thin cook. You can tell Jack would make a good cook. That's right, Jeanette. Don't let him get away with it now. Demas, you teach him a few things. You know? But so, we're looking at this thing then about the sisters and about the men. And a woman is not supposed to be like a man. A man is not supposed to be like a woman. Now, the nature of a woman, without her meaning to, definitely, because it's a nature, same with a man, can lead either one of them into problems. So the question came up now concerning women and shoes. And this is very simple. I don't have the answer, but I have known and watched over the years that almost always women will tend to elevate their heels. Now, Brother Branham spoke of the spike heel. And the spike heel is not only high, but it's exceedingly narrow. And in my thinking on the subject of this, it would appear to me that any woman trying to navigate a high wire line like this woman was, because the road developed into a high wire line, so she had to be an aerialist. It started, she could go plop, 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 right along good, and then it began narrower and narrower and narrower. And it signified by the high heel slippers that it could not be navigated. Now, here's what I'm trying to show you. If you had even a heel, maybe say 2 inches, and it had that little tiny thing at the bottom, I don't think you can navigate that wire. So I'm looking at the combination of the height and the way the heels are made. Now, I'm old-fashioned enough to be, now I'm not authority on this. I'm just telling you what I believe. If I look at Brother Branham's vision, that is his mother's dream, and Brother Branham's interpretation of the book of Isaiah, I could not believe that women should wear any type of tiny, little, narrow heels that cause the body to sway and to wobble, that puts you off of balance. And then when you begin using that little, tiny, little half-inch deal, because it's never bigger than a half an inch, and you begin adding what is known as the fulcrum in the lever principle. You know, let's take it. What do you do when you want to raise a large object? Well, you put a little tiny fulcrum here, and then you put a long thing here, right? Okay, now if your body is resting on a high heel, you are in greater danger than resting on a lower heel. So I would say this when it comes to shoes, even though you're going to have a job getting them, I really believe that women should have the larger base heel, and not too high. And the height then would depend on that base a great deal. So you would be up against the thought then of bringing it into conformity. Let's say that you had a heel that was about an inch. Well then, the point is they graduate them all. So by the time you got up here, you'd have a very good heel. But on the other hand, remember, your body is acting like the lever on the fulcrum. And what do you got? You've got yourself in a position that begins to throw the body. And I would simply say anything that throws the body would be dangerous. It's dangerous physically, it's dangerous spiritually. Why? Because it lets you know, I think this, it lets you know there is a spirit trying to gain hold of people. Now, Brother Branham said a spirit is okay as long as it doesn't gain hold. But I've seen almost always in the last years I preached, I don't look anymore to tell you the truth. I've kind of given the women up. They want to do it, they're going to do it. I don't like doing that because if you've exhorted and all, the Bible says warn two times and forget it. And a preacher doesn't run and say, let me take your sisters, come up and let me see your shoes. Now, I'm telling you enough that any woman in this church knows right now what I'm talking about. Whether Brother Bell assents with it, so he can follow me afterward, and he can then tell you what he thinks. But I'm of the exact opinion from what Brother Branham taught, that you have to use, you have shoes that are a little wider at the, fairly wide at the base, and so that your body rests on them comfortably, and they cannot be too high, because then if you get too high, you're like you're walking on stilts. Then you got it, then you moved your fulcrum and the lever to another distance. Now you are in real trouble, because then if you fall, it's a very bad fall. Brother Branham saw the woman, which probably types the church. Because of her walk and what she was doing with that walk, which would be outside the Word of God, evidently, and would be something in her which caused her to feel that she was setting a style and setting a trend. Now, this is a church, not a woman, but it's a spirit we're talking about. And setting a trend which would make her obvious, as the world churches say, I don't have to have the message at the end time. See what I'm saying? The Catholics say, we don't have to have the Bible, we wrote the Bible. Yes, Catholics are a bunch of filthy liars. They never wrote the Bible. The Bible's got two sets of books, Old and New Testament. And there wasn't a pope for literally hundreds of years. They're a bunch of liars. No time for that nonsense, forget it. The Protestants are no better because they rewrote it. So you see what you're looking at then, you're looking at really the woman who is a type here, and she's on her own, and she's going to strut her stuff, and she's going to show you that she doesn't have to come in line with this word. Because we're talking of living people going off into oblivion, and that only happens at one time, at the time of the rapture. And hell is open to receive them. And you know we're before the white throne right now. Do you really believe that here? If you don't, there's something wrong with your teaching. Not your pastors, because I know he believes there's something wrong with what you're getting. You're not getting it from him. It's going over your heads. You've got to absolutely realize what's going on now. And the day after tomorrow, it's going to be finished. Because Brother Branham categorically, beginning in 1960, presented Jesus as the judge and took him right down into Daniel, the Ancient of Days, in the white throne. In two places we know positively, said white throne's going on now. So you see, the woman, as the church, is flaunting herself in the face of God. Now remember, it's at this time, Matthew 25 comes to pass. I used to know as my wife, I don't know you as my wife anymore. Now remember this, the woman went into oblivion. She went into fire and smoke and screaming. Now you say, what is that? Is that the lake of fire? Not necessarily. It could be the great tribulation. Because he said, I'll cast her into a bed of tribulation, Brother Bannon said. So, we are not obviating the white throne and the lake of fire as I say this. We have what is taking place now, which could throw the foolish virgin into the great tribulation and the rest into the lake of fire about 24 hours from now. So what you see in your type here is a spirit that will touch the women. Now, it won't touch the men. The men have their own problems. The Antichrist spirit of rulership, dictatorship, that Brother Branham saw in denominations striking the woman down and making her grovel, hits the men. Now you tell me that's not in the Branham people. Come on, are you a bunch of... Hey, come on, what are you, a three-year-old? Haven't you been anywhere? Come on, Beaumont, you know you've had that right down here, the macho boy. Bless God. Whoever said, bless God, and God ever said, hallelujah, that's my son. That's the devil's children every single time. Men that would knock women down. So you see, the spirits, and they got to show someplace. Now, do you think men will show that peculiar spirit by dress? Sure they will. I'm going to talk about it. It's too obvious. Nah, it's too obvious, Jack. They can't figure that by now. I'm going to waste my time. Men get sucked in, too, with the macho stuff, too. Like women. So I hope you understand we're talking about women's shoes. My own personal opinion, as I say, I don't watch it too much anymore. Look, I'm kind of tired of talking about it. Even looking in. They've heard it many enough times now. Of course, little children, younger people coming up ought to know about it. That's something they should know. But it's definitely a type, and it's an end-time type. And as I say, to me, it's a spirit that rejects the word. And the other spirit on men is the takeover spirit. The spirit of seduction as against the spirit of rape is what it really amounts to. Women can hardly be accused of rape, although I think there's been a few cases in record which, to me, is utterly stupid. How bad? Women for seduction, men for rape. So I think that's what you're looking at here. A picture of seduction of the church. So watch your shoes, because I tell you something. To me, this is something like the word I said a while ago. In spite of myself, I'm changing. See, I'm that macho, apartheid, South African type of guy. You know, I'm just kidding, of course, but I'm hoping to give you an understanding of what I'm saying about myself. I'm a kind of an aloof person. I've been bit so many times that I've got afraid of dogs. I can't say that anymore. I can just say that the word has done in the people. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. The word in the people has done something for me and to me that the word by myself couldn't do. So if you think you're looking just simply at a preacher, Brother Bell's preacher, another preacher here, no doubt, I know, Brother Goss, long time old preacher, sort of semi-retired, whatever, you don't perhaps realize, but you will, the power of this word in a human vessel. Unconscious. A maturation of growth. A maturity. You don't realize right now, but there's something's happening to your cells in your body. Let the dead come out of the ground, you just breathe a deep breath. And Brother Bannon said, a little like pass over you. And you're changed. In a twinkling of an eye, in the atoms. All changed. That's going on now. People say, that's crazy. I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. Brother Branham said, this message could endure 100 years, 50, 25, maybe tomorrow it'd be over. How long it takes, I don't know. But you know something? 1988, a momentous year, everybody knew it. Now let's look back at 1988, stock market crash. Number two, Gorbachev. That's a Christian nation. And you say, you're atheist. No, they're not. They're a Christian nation. They're not Mohammedans. They're not Taoists. They're not Buddhists. They might have some there. But they're a Christian nation. For the first time, Christianity can come together under a pope. Number three, for the first time, the dollar is being talked of being replaced. 70 cents of every dollar is American and used in commerce. Today, the yen and the mark are coming up fast. There's talk of dispossessing America of that place. If that happens, what happens? Three things never happened before. It's later than you think. So therefore, women and men, we must consider these things. I don't know how to help anybody but preach the word. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I have one hope, that this word will take root in the hearts of the people as a definitive revelation, and the life that's in it will come forth. And there'll be no hypocrisy. There'll be no fanfare. There'll be no exceeding effort as though you had to do something. Like Brother Branham, he said, I must consecrate myself for the vision of the angels coming. Wonderful. So I'm Brother Branham. While I sit in my little room and I say, you know, I think it'd be great for angels to come. So I will consecrate myself for angels and they will come. Hogwash. William Branham could have consecrated himself from the minute he left his mother's womb till he grew to be 10 million years old. And if God didn't want those angels coming, they wouldn't have come. Brother Branham knew they were coming. So he said, I must consecrate myself. I must get out of the way so they can have their way. And I helped him. You say, how? Well, he said, Lee, I'm going to be preaching on those seals. When I do, Meadie won't be home. The kids won't be home. And I want you to come and stay right in my home. And you can stay with me. And we will have a time together. When the time came, I wrote and I said, Brother Branham, I appreciate that, but I cannot come and stay with you. I do not feel it is right. I'd have gotten his way. I didn't really help him. I'm just kidding about that. But I want you to know that this is how it works. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Remember years ago, they'd say, hey, get out of the way and let a real man do it. And anybody said that, me lifting 250 pounds, I'd say, hey, I ain't born. Take it away. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. All right, I trust you get my attitude on this. Understand what I say, because if we're not using a pile driver in anybody, and neither are we going to try to mold anybody to the extent that people want them molded. Conformity will only come as the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and the conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word. We are the conduit of the Word. And the Word is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. That's the aim that I have in life. All right, now, so Brother Bay, would you explain about life, the life of God? All right, if it is in the seed, or does the Holy Spirit bring life to the seed? Now, that's a good question. Now, first of all, let's understand that you're talking about John 1. And he says here, in the beginning was the Word. Now, Brother Brandon said, if you make that Jesus, he said, you're a Trinitarian. And he's talking about, of course, the man that walked the shores of Galilee, streets of Nazareth, Jerusalem, and so on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Now, let's start with the very beginning. Here's God. Here's God, and well, where is he? Here he is, but where is he? What are you going to talk about? Let's just say that I let a mind go. God's a rock. God is a rock. Well, the Bible calls him a rock. That's pretty tricky and pretty dangerous. Now, what I'm trying to get across to you is this. Whoever and whatever God is, he is already living. He is alive. He moves. He can cause movement. He's living. See? Now, the Bible speaks of God, the living God. Is that right? It does, the psalmist. God, the living God. Now, you could say that's in contradistinction to those gods that are made out of brass and wood and stone and so on. Well, all right, I can sort of buy that. That's all right. But in the light of this, in him was life. Hey, you say, I'm up here, I'm talking, I'm breathing. Anything that has life can do, namely, three things. What? All right, it's got movement, it eats, it breathes, it gives off waste, it procreates. Well, I can adapt to all that. Maybe I give off more waste and eat more than I give off anything else. But I'm living. See? Now, you think of God that way. And you wouldn't say, well, there's life in me there. Now, you might say that because maybe I'm a little hyperactive, which I'm really not. I may have good mobility. I may be able to dance a little jig, which I do the odd time, so my wife can laugh. I never did believe in ballroom dancing with each other, but I like jigging around. I think that's spiritual. I didn't say what spirit. Spirit of joy. But I'm letting you know life, you know. You'll say, well, unless, you know, you got something in mind concerning me in a specific instance, you would say that I am alive. Look at, I look down in Europe. Well, even Bemis is alive. You wouldn't know it part of the time, but he's alive. Tony. Sometimes I wonder. just kidding, of course. See, that's what I mean. What would you realize? So you're kidding. But you couldn't say that, you could say Demas is dead, Tony's dead, Jack's dead. You can't say that. You just know that they're living. There is life in them. Then why does this scripture here say, concerning the living God, in him was life? That's stupid. No, it's not. In him is Zoe. In God lay that ability to birth himself, to bring himself into a human form, to produce life, and that's what happened to Adam. He was in a spiritual complex with Eve, and God put him in a body, like Brother Branham said, let's say like a tree with these toes in the ground like roots. And God breathed in him the breath of life. Now watch, the breath of lives. And he became a living soul, and at that time he could procreate. But not before could he procreate. The living Adam, there wasn't life in the living Adam. Not Zoe. Zoe only in the sense that God also is Zoe. But when he got a body, then he could multiply. So that's what we see here. Now, in the living God was that ability wherein God genetically and generically brought forth sons in form. Human form. So, the question, explain the life of God. Well, what can you say? God is life. He's spirit. He's a life that you and I know nothing of in the sense of the true definitive as though we can handle it, walk up to it, and everything else. But neither can you handle the definition of life here, because every one of us was in our father's loins, taking right back to Adam and to the serpent. You can't get away from that. And each one has the ability toward that procreation. So when we talk about the life of God, we are talking intrinsically, basically, essentially, of a living God who is spirit. And he is our creator, and he is our God. The next thing you realize, he is a father. So, the Bible succinctly says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of blood is blood, but what is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, the word born means to issue forth from. I know you can twist the Greek around a million different ways for begetting and all this sort of jazz, but look, from what Brother Branham's teaching is, I will not buy it. I will buy only what I teach. And in it I'm saying to this, Jesus said, I came out of God, and I go back to God, and the scripture says he is in the bosom of the Father, the only begotten. Brother Branham categorically said that Jesus, the Son of God, had a pre-existence. Now, how in the world did it happen? God took a part of himself, which every one of us is a part of our own father through the bedding grounds of the mother. You see, I don't believe it. Well, you believe wrong, because Eve was in Adam, and every single thing that was in Eve came from Adam. And so, therefore, through procreation, they had true children of God according to the flesh, and they were the race of God to be on earth. But by interjection of the sperm, of the serpent, it got all mixed up. But it still holds true today, through the work of God, how that the life comes down and works through chemistry, allowing the genes of the Spirit to manifest themselves in a physical form. There isn't one person here who wasn't in the loins of his father, because the mother was also has within her that which is from the father, in the sense that it's a perfect balance in coming down through the two lines, because all Eve was Adam coming down through her line. I hope you follow me. Let me get a blackboard and you can understand more. I'm even telling you, my brother Branham said the male has the hemoglobin, not the woman. Scientists will refute it, but they're crazy. The woman doesn't have life. No way, shape, or form. And she doesn't have the two chromosomes. Only the male has X and Y. So when you understand this, look, let's go over it again. As Adam with Eve in him. God separates them at the time after the human body, takes her out, gives her own body. What is she? Nothing but Adam in that other vessel. Now, through procreation, they have Abel. So I say, what is Abel? Abel is his father's child, not the woman's. Now, he is the woman's child on the grounds because it became separated. But where did she come from? Adam. He never called Adam and Eve. He called their name Adam. And as in Adam, all die. See? Death came at later on down the road. So, Brother Branham said, a virgin birth is pie in the sky. Just duck soup compared to a natural election. Where it took your great-great-great-great-great-grandpa took it all the way back. Now, what was? You go right back to what was there. See? So, therefore, when the child is born, he is and she is the child of the Father through bedding grounds and holy matrimony. And scientifically, the male, therefore, does provide the hemoglobin because the life is in the blood. And if there is no life, there will be no chemical reaction. Now, you come out of God too, but you can't come the way Jesus did. Either as to specific quantity and mass, please call it that. What else can I call it? God, Brother Brand said he took a part of God, took a part of himself. He said, like a light, the child praying around the Father's throne. Creation began and all. But you and I bypassed that form. Now listen, before there was a speck of stardust, before there was a breeze, before there was a whisper, what was there? Nothing but God. Then what came out of God? God came out of God. Not God the Son, but a Son of God. You say, why do you say that? Because it's a generic and genetic race of a God people. I know it's not. Look at this. Look, clear the cobwebs as simple as falling over a cliff. But it's not scary. It's simple as pie, eating pie, what I'm telling you. What comes out of dogs? Dogs. What comes out of cats? Kittens. They grow up to be cats. What comes out of anything? What was there in the first place? So, what comes out of God? Spirit. Now, how big is a sperm? 15,000 make up the diameter of a single hair. How big is an egg? A little bigger, but not much. Also takes a microscope. Now, the life is not in the egg. It's a bedding ground. The life is in the sperm. And they get together. You can't see that life. The chemistry, the chemicals used, are not the genetic pattern. The life is the genetic pattern. Now, science will fool around and mingle seed and do a million things, but they'll never create life. Science said, oh, there's protein on the moon. Praise the Lord. Praise Darwin and all the happy emissaries of evolution. It is certainly true because there was protein, there had to be people, or there will be. Hogwash. I never heard such unmitigated tripe in all my life. Listen, God had to make this earth and everything for the spirit he was and the spirits he created. And when the earth brought forth the animals, it wasn't the earth doing it. It wasn't spontaneous generation. It wasn't evolution. It was God clothing them. But when he clothed you and me, he used his hands. He didn't do that with animals. The dog went by and Adam could see him, I guess, if he'd have been there. But Adam wasn't there at that time. Adam hadn't even been made into a man, spirit form. And the dog was there. And so God, they were all there in spirit form. Like the seed in the soil, the seed in the sea. And God said, let it come out. And it came out. Clothed him. When he made man in his image. Man came from him. So he had this process whereby he could bring forth his sons. Now, Brother Branham said, and you heard it on tapes, there's categories, is about 10 different phrases. We are seed, we are attribute, we are sons of God, sons of the Spirit. We are sons of Abraham. We are sons of faith. Some more, Jack. What is about 10 of them? Anyway, you got them all. Part of God. Seed of God. I got that one. There's about 9 right. We got 8 right now. There's about 2 more to go. Any number of them. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which comes forth from a spirit is spirit. That which comes forth from clay is clay. What comes forth is cows, is calves. What comes forth of dogs is pups. And what comes forth of cats is kittens. What comes forth of God is spirit, sons of God. That's why it says in the scripture, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand. Therefore God, even thy God, hath elevated thee. It's a God race you're looking at. Put into human physical body. See? Now, you say, what about that life? That life was separated from God. That's the life that Brother Branham says, that which is born of God cannot sin. He turned around and said, little bride, you didn't even do it. How can a part of God sin? Paul said, in my flesh, he said, then it is not I that do it, but sin that worketh in me. Redemption is to buy back. So what's in you, you came by natural generation, a seed of God. In other words, God set forth a life principle of himself. In him was life. In the forth a life principle of himself. In him was life. In the living God. And finally, Jesus himself laid aside that body of glory. And he said, glorify thou me with thine own self. Get me back to my theophany. That's why when you're born again, you hear from your theophany. Now, you bypassed it, but it's there eternal, so therefore it has to be a substance form of the very Spirit. And it's in heaven and from heaven. It's not on the earth here. I hope I'm not losing you. It's easy to get lost in these points here, but it's not all that difficult. Now, so you're a son of God by natural election, natural germination. God laid down the law. He laid down the law for dogs. He laid down the law for pigs. And we're right ahead of them. We're the last. We're the high scale of evolution. We're mammals. So now God says, for my children, my life is going to be put in them. Therefore, there's no such thing as total reprobation except for serpent seed. Total reprobation is a lie. Brother Branham never preached it. You never were a reprobate. You're a sheep gone astray. He never took a dog and saved it. He never took a hog and saved it. He took a son. See? So, all right. What was the blood all about? To pay the price to get you back. To get you back where? Well, that's a good question, right? Right to your bodies that you had in the Garden of Eden before you sinned. Oh, come on. Tell me I'm wrong. You might think I'm wrong sitting here because you took yourself all the way back to heaven in eternity, didn't you? You can't do it. Where did the blood fall, kiddo? On the ground. To redeem the ground. Why did God give you the Holy Ghost? To recompense you for having missed your theophonic form. See? Your rebirth simply means that you are united back to God. You are recognizing your Father and recognizing yourself. As Brother Branham said, one day you realize you never were saved. You always were. But your body dies because of sin. So what is the great redemption looking for? We're looking for redemption of the body. And Paul distinctly said, if there is no resurrection, and in this life only we have hope. And he's going to let you go to that theophonic form even. We are of all men most miserable. Say, oh, bless God. If I could just get as far as where Brother Branham was, hallelujah, and hear him say that we're resting on that, that you preach what Paul preached, and we get up there and just hug and kiss each other. We'd even give up sex for that. Oh, and just hallelujah. Shut up and stop your hallelujah. You're a million miles off base. You're a bunch of Pentecostals screaming in some oceans. Paul said, if I don't get my body, I ain't interested. Come on. So I better, I think you better. Yeah, I think you better. Chapter 15. Verse 12 now, 1 Corinthians. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? They're saying that right today. And if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Oh my God. And if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, your faith is vain. Well, I thought, bless God, Paul just wanted our sins taken out of the way. No, he didn't. What good's your sin taken out of the way if you miss the resurrection? So I don't think I believe that. Well, fine, if you're an unbeliever, I'm sorry for you. See, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You think because I preach easy up here and can hammer these things that I've got old brother there. We listen to brother there because he's got it so easy. He's got it easy. Like a guy years ago, I told him how I give 20% of everything. Oh, he said, you can do that because you're a preacher. And he's making barrels of money alongside of my $39 a week. I like them apples. Jack knows what I'm talking about. He went through it here. Well, should I tell some of the stories? Stale donuts, eh, Jack? Oh, I love these so-called Christians. So-called. I threw that in. Don't gild the lily. It's too late, brother. It's already white throne. It's already known. The shouting for the housetops has taken place. You already knew that, do you? Discernment came. Every soul was laid bare. How do you like that? I don't mind anymore. You want to know all about me? I'll just tell you. Save you the trouble looking at the records. Can't hide if you try. Our preaching is vain. Found fault witness to God because we testify to God. He raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And Job, you're still there. Too bad, too bad. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are in your sins. So, try to get your theophany. Try to go where Brother Branham is. Try to go where Paul is. No resurrection, you ain't got nothing. See? What do you do? Redemption of the body. Joining back to God. The baptism with the Holy Ghost placing you as sons. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing the Word. You're yet in your sins. No wonder Paul wanted a resurrection. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Here Paul said, you didn't receive the Holy Ghost to become seed, that book of Galatians. He said, because you are seed, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son in your heart, whereby you cry, Father. What is the Holy Ghost given for? As the teacher. The seal of your resurrection, making you to know with Paul, hey, I'm going to be there. I've got it. I'm seed. The eagle scream identified me. See? Now you say, does the Spirit bring life to the seed? Absolutely. Absolutely. It does. How does it do it? The seed is listening for the scream, the Word. And if the seed is there, it will hear the Word. And the Word brings the Holy Ghost. And it's not just a one-time experience. It's building word upon word until the last day when the full measure of the Word comes, there will be a people standing here who don't die. What is the difference between those who are saved and those who don't die? The saved ones die. You say they got the Holy Ghost. How do you know? Because they had vessels that didn't leak. What's the vessel of the Holy Ghost? Not your body, honey. Word. Word. So the foolish virgin didn't have the right word. He had to have a wrong word. They're good people. No, they will come up in the resurrection, but I don't know they're going to get bodies like ours. Brother Branham never said so, and the Word of God doesn't say so. Brother Branham did say that the non-elect, I mean the reprobates, you know, the ones that are going to go to hell, he said they have a body, a resurrection body commensurate to that. Now, I see, if we'd have followed Christ, Christ coming forth from God, the Son of God, not God the Son, but the Son of God, and remember, Brother Branham said we are not Trinitarians, we are not oneness, we are in between. Now, what's in between? Two gods? He said the angels went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they said, my lords. He said they believe any number of gods, two, three, doesn't matter, doesn't it? You have God and you have His Son. We are all sons and brothers. Now when Jesus came forth, the Son of God, begotten as no other son was ever begotten or will be. And remember, in the Bible, there's different begottens. There's about at least three I know of. He was begotten. Now He had a body commensurate with who He was. But you and I didn't get those bodies commensurate to what you and I are. So therefore we receive the Holy Ghost. And when we leave here, if we die, we go and pick up that body that's commensurate. And then come back and pick up the other body that God wanted eternally for us. Now if we don't die, we bypass that theophonic form that's commensurate. But we're changed by the life of the Word within us at this point. Then as we go up, that unites with us. You see, you got a glorified body. You're in three parts again. Can't help it. You got a glorified body. You got your spirit body. That's your right. Tells us there's a natural body, which is the soul body, the body produced by the soul, and there is one produced by the actual spirit of the living God, which it would have produced and did produce waiting for you, but you come down here, you couldn't have it, so you bypassed it. So all right. Oh, right here. Now, that the Holy Spirit coming through the conduit of the Word wakens the life within us. Now, let's take a look at this over here in Ephesians. And you read something here. First of all, we look at one thing here. Oh, let's see. That's not the one I wanted. Gotta see the fifth chapter. Yeah. Fifth chapter, verse 14. Now, but all things are reproved, verse 13. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Now let me tell you what. I can show you something reproved. Everybody walk up here with your finger, lay it on the pulpit, and I'll take a hammer and hit it. And it'll be manifested right there. Boy, that hurts. The bones get broken, and the finger swells, and it's gonna cost a doctor bill. You got the light. Right off the bat. Anything that teaches is light. Anything you can observe is light. Anything you can't observe but has an impact is light. Now remember, Christ died, took away condemnation, but you can't have eternal life because you turned down the light. And this is a condemnation that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now listen to what it says here now, see? He tells us something is going to manifest to us. Wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest. Didn't say they're dead. And arise from amongst the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Now he says, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, you know what this is all about, so stay with it. If you hold fast what you're taught to the end, you will make this resurrection. What's going on? So now let's get back to your question. Explain about the life of God. I did. He's living. In Him was Zoe. Zoe is every plant. Everything animate, inanimate. Not everything inanimate, but everything animate. Whether it is functional in the sense of a tree or a propagating life through sperm and through male and female sperm. Now, trees do the same thing as all wild plants. But they're not sensate and what we call soul as our other lives. So in what God was this ability to perfectly manifest Himself in nature and His own being in sons through a reproductive method. See? Now, that's the lay. I showed you how it came from the spirit form to the human form in Adam and Eve. It's in every single person that is a seed of God, and none is going to miss it, even foolish virgin. But what they all have at the end is for God to tell you. I can't tell you, and I don't think Brother Branham told us, or at least I haven't latched on to this particular time. All right, if it is in the seed, is it if it is in the seed, or does the Holy Spirit bring light to the seed? The seed already has its own life, but it's the life of God, but alienated from God through the flesh. It was the flesh that sinned. Adam and Eve in that order form. Even separating them, they never would have had any trouble. It was in the flesh. That's why it took the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God, in order to cleanse us, and that life could come back on us. And the life that comes back is like the male and the female. In other words, this time, that little seed in us, though it's not female, it's like it. The Spirit of God moves, wakens it up. And at that moment, from that moment on, that person will never commit sin because that's unbelief. He'll not be an unbeliever. Maybe hard to teach. That's nothing there. It brings to life the seed. That's an expression that Brother Branham used and everybody uses. But the point is, Brother Branham also said death is separation. He did not use death in the ultimate as though there was no activity or nothing there except something dead and dry. Dead in the sense, no manifestation. But he went back and he told us that which you were longing for and crying for. The little eagle in the chicken pen. When the eagle screamed, that did it. That brought it to light. So what he's talking about there is actually, as I see it, recognition. Because you can't say, take everything else he said and then come back and say, well, here is something that was dead. No, dormant. Comatose. Not recognizing. But now recognition. And it does recognize. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And from that time on, the evidence of you being born again is positively you will come to this word. Now, notice he says here, Christ will give thee light. Notice, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, up here he tells you right off the bat, there is a light that makes you aware. Brother Branham came on, let's talk about our age. Who gives two bits about the other age? I'm not interested in Luther, Wesley, and all the rest. Fine men, but look it, forget it. Let's talk about you and me and the prophet. Brother Branham comes on the scene. A mighty vindicated prophet with thus saith the Lord. And we said, what's going on here? What is this? I told you my own testimony. I wept for two solid hours when hundreds and hundreds are healed. And like a voice spoke to me and said, if you ever listen to anybody, this is a man to listen to. You ought to hear. The voice told another brother, world famous man, this is what the Bible says, you can do it. The voice didn't tell me that. Said to listen. When I prophesied in Florida, Brother Branham was going to come, I didn't know it. My own prophet says, behold, I send you a prophet out of the north, and he shall teach the people the things they ought to know. And I said, boy, if that's Lee Vail, he ain't going to come. I don't know any prophets. But I said, if that was God spoke through me, he'll be here. When he preached in Florida, by Daddy Bosworth, another man said, we have never heard Brother Branham teach as he taught down here. And that was just the opening. That's before serpent seed. Brother Branham really hit it. He hit the big time, which means the rocks came tumbling down, 1958 on serpent seed. And remember, he was the prophet to sow the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the prophet in the former rain. And he did it. Now, what happened? Manifestation opened my eyes to the prophet of God. Thus saith the Lord was vindication. See? Already born again, what could I do but take the word? Now, watch what it said. All things are manifest. But be reproved. Remember, in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 12, discernment was going to do it. Now then, awake thou that sleepest, rise the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Up here, there is one light, in verse 13, in verse 14, there's another light, and they're both of God. But the light from God is manifestation to attract you. The second life is the life of the Holy Ghost teaching you the Word, making you to know that you're on the right track when you took the manifestation up here. Any other reason is out. What's the time? I'm going to quit. 20 to draw. No, that's your thoughts. It's not mine. I've answered the question. All right, now I'm going to do something I usually don't do. And it's always a mean trick not to include the women, but you can write down a piece of paper and throw it on the floor. I'm just teasing you again. Listen, if there's anything you want to ask about this particular thing here, what I've said this morning, this is a good question. Whoever wrote it, that's a good question. That's what I like to look at and see that you really know what we're talking about. Any questions on this? We'll go straight from God all the way down the line. And before you, let me tell you one thing. Don't disbelieve what Brother Branham said, and don't try to believe one thing at the risk of not believing another or receiving another thing. Remember, Brother Branham categorically said concerning Jesus, he had a pre-existence. He quoted John 17. In Melchizedek, he told us we come just like he did and end up the way he does, except we bypass that body for a while. Don't try to reconcile like the Jesus-only people did. You're going to run afoul. Now, you see, you're blinking a bit because you're having problems. Everybody has problems. William Branham had problems. He said, I know what I believe. Maybe I can't tell it the way I believe it. I never found him telling me yet how he believed it. By that, I mean I couldn't understand it. It's a toughie going back and forth. He tells you straight in Melchizedek. And Melchizedek wasn't Jesus. Turned right around and says, this was that one standing there, didn't have father and mother. Turns right around and says, Jesus did have father and mother. What's he telling you? What's he telling you? Telling you that one reduced himself as Jesus, laid aside his body, took on himself a form, which was the life of Almighty God, reduced to a sperm and egg, took on a chemistry, stood right there, and God came into him. Then Jesus into thy hand, and then God left him in Gethsemane. The one that came in left him. That left the soul of Jesus right there to go back to going to Hades. Right, the soul went to Hades, the body to the grave, the spirit went to God, and the hands of men my spirit. And then God poured that same soul. Why did he pour the soul? Because that was the life. Poured back upon you and me. See, all one in God. Now in the Hebrews it tells us this one that God used in creation, heaven and earth, made way bigger than the angels, now comes down lower. Can we figure it? Believe it. It's tough. I just give up. I've done my best. And I'm doing my best. I sat for hours not trying to force issues. Just looking, writing, looking, knowing. Wasn't going. Little by little by little by little it comes to light. I know, as Paul said, God the Father, God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Sure, Brother Bill, can I worship him? Certainly you can worship him. Why shouldn't you? Well, if I worship Jesus, the man, in whom God was, he's the great mediator, how can I worship God? Oh, why wouldn't you? The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. I'm reading Hebrews. Second chapter. But under the sun he set thy throne, O God. What about him? Is forever and ever. Scepter righteousness is the temple of thy kingdom. Thou shalt have righteousness and dignity. Therefore God, even thy God. Lord said to my Lord. The Lord descended the shout. Meet the Lord in the air. If Jesus isn't Lord, the one that came here in flesh and died upon Calvary, you ain't got a Lord. Because you denied the Son. Now if you deny the Holy Ghost, where are you going to be? It's going to take us to reveal the Father. These are tough things when you go into this question here. But they're not tough if you just believe them. See, it's not given to you and me to know anything about the prophet. And the prophet said, look at it. He said, I can't explain it. Okay, you got 2 or 3 minutes for questions. If you have any questions, because it's 11:45 now and we've taken a lot of time. We start at 10 o'clock? Oh man, we're now at overtime. You sure Luby's is home, Piccadilly's home for dinner? Okay. All right, 2 minutes for questions. Just want to get you relaxed kidding about these things. So you get too serious, you'll destroy your thinking. You can't think to the point where you think you can really get something. See, get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Get out of the way. You fight with your wife? Get out of the way. Your wife's getting edgy? Get out of the way. Kids, get learn to get out of the way. Don't run in terrified fear. Just learn to get out of the way. What does that mean? Not my will, but thine be done. Not sinning now. Oh, no man gives to his wife to sin. Going to the common God. The woman is never accounted to her husband. The husband accounts to the wife. To God, that is. My wife doesn't have to count. That's why I tell my wife, hey, want me to ordain you? The minute you get your preaching papers, you get your walking papers. I'm tough on her at times, but she asked for it. I'll not tolerate 15 seconds. No. No, sir. I'm responsible. If I'm responsible, I'm responsible. There's something funny gets you in this message, brother, sister. You don't get mean about it. You say, hey, hold it. Live or die, sink or swim. I'm going to heaven or I'm going to hell, but mind your business. I'm minding mine. You that way this morning? Every single person here. Every single one of you. Get out of the way. Not so hard. Just terribly hard. Any questions? Any questions, Jack? You don't have any questions. You got answers. Do you follow what I said this morning? Tom, you're thinking. You got the, it's okay? You follow it? Just to go start right back with God. Before a speck of stardust, what happened? God was in Christ reconciling the world. God was in Christ creating the earth. It is not I that do the works, but my Father that worketh in me. Can never, never change, never change. If you can't find Alpha, find Omega. And Omega and Alpha are identical. They never change. Whatever God ever is reconciling the world, God was in Christ creating the earth. It is not I that do the works, but my Father that worketh in me. Can never, never change, never change. If you can't find Alpha, find Omega. And Omega and Alpha are identical. They never change. Whatever God ever does once is it. Repeat, repeat maybe, but it is it. Never, never, never changes. Could God come down and be in William Branham, 20th century prophet? Why, he'd have to if he was a 20th century prophet. You can't get away from these irrevocable principles. You can't do it. God has shown me several. And the first, the great one was Alpha and Omega. The next one now is the, what do you call them? Is the Vindication Theorem. What's your question?
Would you just make a short comment, Brother Bill? I don't think there's any questions here on it, but I know Brother Brown's question on Jehovah, the Old Testament, is Jesus of the New. And you said if you take that, put that on the body, like when he walked here, you're going to miss what he said and this morning in 1 John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't suppose that, this is the point here that's the tough point. Because to weave it back and forth is very difficult. Now let's face it. On the road to Damascus, when Paul was stricken down, Jesus did not appear to him in a body of flesh. Paul distinctly says, he said, henceforth, now let's go back to it. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and just read it. Now let's take our stand with Paul. Don't have to understand it. Just take our stand with Paul on it. Now he says here, we'll try to start with verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now let me tell you something. That word dead in the Greek is nekros, which means a corpse. A corpse. Just a minute. That soul in you, that gene, that seed that came from God, is that a corpse? Mm-mm. Nope. He's talking about the same thing he says over here in Romans. He said in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 10th verse, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. He's talking about the body. Death to the soul is a separation from God. Life to the soul is a rebirth. And the second death is the soul destroyed with the body. Fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. So, all right, let's watch it. And that he died for all, that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about a life lived in the flesh. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved and gave himself for me. Okay, where, now notice, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. That's Jew and Gentile. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Paul never knew Christ after the flesh. He never saw him after the flesh. Brother Brown tells you that. Peter and James John say, hey, we walked and we ate and we slept with him. Hey, we know all about him. He said, I know more than all of you. Didn't know him after the flesh at all. See? Now, what happened? Brother Branham said, in the road to Damascus, he appeared to Paul in a pillar of fire, showing that this Jesus returned from the flesh to the spirit form in a pillar of fire. Now, let's go all the way back. I came out of God, and I go back to God. Now, we're talking in here concerning the one in Philippians, who was in the form of God and thought it not a prize to be grasped retained, but took upon himself the form of a man, the nature of Abraham. It's a mystery. But you got to leave it there that that one did it. And he talked of his Father. And then he said, the Father doeth the works in me. When did the Father come into him that took upon himself a robe of flesh? The one that changed his mask. God working by a mask. He could take the body and make a Melchizedek. Brother Ban, take a hand with us, blow on it, step into it, let it go right back to the elements. You're talking about that Jehovah. So Jesus of the Old Testament, or rather the New Testament, is Jehovah of the Old. It's a difficult situation. I don't pretend I can understand it, but I'm just telling you, that's the one there, and that's the one that God came into. So therefore, the Jehovah, the Jesus of the New, being Jehovah of the old, would have to be God himself putting on a mask, as far as I can understand it. But notice it says, this Jesus went back to pillar fire. Now the point is, Brother Branham said, just think, he said, God has given us the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Ghost. It's a great puzzle to me. As I say, I cannot reconcile these things. I just believe them and know they're true. And if God ever gives me an answer to the extent that I can say 1, 2, 3, I'll be glad to teach you. I'm going to tell you what happened to the oneness. They said 1, 2, 3 and they were wrong. And the Trinity said 1, 2, 3 and they were wrong. And I'm not going to be like those birds, because I honestly admit I don't have the answer except for one thing, God changing his mask. The same God that was Melchizedek was the same God that walked in flesh, in the flesh of Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary's body. In other words, that soul built its own body, because the soul builds its body. Even theologians that you don't hear of. I ran across one the other day for the first time. Understood what I'm talking about. Got it right from the Godet, I think it was. Got it from the Greek. And he said the soul builds its body from the things that are handy to it. Now, the original seed, you see, would have built a theophonic form coming out of itself. Now, that's a mystery. Don't ask me how it's done, because I don't know. But with God, all things are possible. But when God ordained that that life of yours and mine, which Jesus didn't take, no, sir, he took the theophonic form. We bypassed it. It's there waiting for us. No doubt made from exactly the substance that's in us. That's a tough one, but... well, come on. What did it have to work from when there was nothing to work from except what was there? Then it made something from what was there. Now it comes in a human vessel, it takes the protein and these other things, and it works from what is there. And that's not good enough. Because sin could come in. So it's not going to change the whole thing. If you've been full of the Holy Ghost, your body comes back completely glorified. If you're standing here, you get it, see? All right, you look, you go right back to that point. Now, God had a mask back there, too. The Bible said God created heaven and earth. And it says all things are created by Christ Jesus. How? It tells you right in the Bible. God was in Christ reconciling the world. What was there in that light playing around like a child around the Father's throne? And go, so let there be this. And brother, there's this pew. And out here is this great big blazing sun. Millions of years later, a chunk falls off. What's it about? Who did it? God did it. How did he do it? It's simply office of sonship? No, in the Son. Was that simply an office that Mary bore? That was not simply an office, that was the Son. But the office was God in that form. I find God more in Son than I find even in Father. Because Father procreates or begets, and then sons carry on in tradition. I see more in sonship all the time. I see that the pillar of fire comes. It's a form of sonship. Just think, he said, the same pillar of fire. Jesus of the old, of the new. Jehovah of the old. See? A manifestation. Now he said that same one brought the word is revealing the word. Just think, he said, God has given the gifts of the gift of his Son, the form of the Holy Ghost. That's not just the baptism, that's the name. God in the form, manifesting. Why? Because the Son is in the midst of the brethren witnessing and saying, these are my brothers. And not ashamed to call them brothers, because we're identified as to the source. When was a people ever identified outside the first century to this century? And who's in our midst? Not the Lamb sitting on the throne or behind it. He's on the throne now, because Brother Branham said the Lamb came behind the throne, went to the Father, took the book out of his hand, ripped the seals off, handed the book back, and climbed on the throne. Who came down? Revelation 10:1. Sure, it's a mystery. Just believe it. It's lots of fun. Spiritual enjoyment. And after a while, it begins coming together. Now, I got all your answers. Never had.
Could you take a step further on theophany part, where if we bypass our theophany, which is fit and pride and Christ, Jesus did not. He knew all things. And is that all things, or is that in relationship to his place at time, and what, would we know all things?
No, I think Brother Branham, because of the context, would be referring mostly to the fact of not the omniscience so much, but as the ability to place everything in its proper order and then deal with it. We can't do it. Jesus was never overpowered by sexual instincts. He had them, but he wasn't overpowered. He wasn't overpowered by anger to kill him. And yet we know when he whipped those guys out of the temple, he sure wasn't saying, now, little boys, will you please depart, because I'm going to slap your wrist. Ooh, he just chucked them out left and right. But he wasn't overcome by angers. I think the understanding is there, and it's to us, it's with us today, where the church has not fully matured. And I don't know that the maturation will be there as complete as it should be until we, with the knowledge we have, and we have tremendous knowledge, more and more enlightenment coming, that is by the quickening to us. We, as the Bible distinctly tells us over here in Malachi. Let me go to Malachi and you get the picture that I'm trying to say here. Although the words are not perfect, maybe. They're perfect enough in the third chapter. And it says, 16, they that feared the Lord spake off one another, and they the Lord hearkened. Notice they're not talking to God and praying, they're talking to each other. It's the word they're talking. A book of remembrance was written for him, before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. But that's a very special book right there at the end time bride, in the message. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, the day when I make up my jewels, at the time of the resurrection, the rapture, and the wedding supper. And I will spare them, man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return, at that time, see, and discern between righteousness and wickedness, between them who serve God and those who don't. I think that's what Brother Branham could have been meaning, and I think was referring to. Not the fact of omniscience, but the fact of putting things together, knowing the truth in the comparative sense, and being what he was, say, hey, forget it, that's out. I'm going right down the line. Remember, he said he's faced like a flint toward Jerusalem. Paul came to the same place. He said, people say, don't go there. He said, I'm going. I don't care if they kill me. He said, what's the difference? Whether I live or die, he said, I'm the Lord's. And he said, if I quit this body, all the better. But he said, I hate to go because of you people. See, he already knew that the virgin had fallen from the word. She'd already lost her vessel. What was it? The mind. So here the virgins that are foolish come, and they said, hey, it's leaked out of our vessels. They won't keep the word of God in mind. And Paul says here, you keep the word of God in... Oh, come on, let's get it in Hebrews. I like these little goody thoughts in here. They just make this message so pertinent, you know, that you... You know, that you... okay. In chapter 3 of Hebrews, and it says here in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart in unbelief in departing the living God. What's he say over there in 2 Corinthians? Their minds have been polluted. But exhort one another daily. Talk the word while it's called today, lest any of you be disheartened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we are made fellow companions of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. And remember, in this period of Melchizedek, which could not be revealed, he bases his whole premise of Melchizedek upon vindication, then turns around and uses the time of Moses, which has nothing to do with it, literally, as a warning to the third Exodus. You follow what I'm saying? It's in the mind. So, well, it's in my heart. Hogwash in your heart. Who are you talking about? It's in your mind. It gets down to your heart later on. It's the channels of the soul. Let me prove it to you. How smart is your heart? I'm going down the road and here's a great big snake. You know, you're one of these sidewinders you guys know about. With your cotton mouth. I don't know the first thing about it. Thank God. You know, they're down here. Right around Beaumont, too. Might crawl in your door, even. And, you know, you go hippity-hop to the barber shop and you don't see it. Why didn't your heart make you jump? Well, now you go down the road, hippity-hop, and your eyes see it. Hi. Right to the mind. Woo! You're off like a shot. Why, my goodness me, the launch of a missile is nothing compared to what you do. Your heart's not so smart. Mine. What are you talking about? What is this? The mind age. The mind age. And it's not human wisdom mind age. It is vindication age. Vindication theorem. Says, I don't care two bits what science says. I know what God said. Because the science perverted. Philosophy so-called. They call themselves sophists, wise men. Idiots. Call themselves sophists, wise men. They became fools. Saying no to the very God that bought them. Worshiping the creature more than the creator. Making Lot out of Darwin. Putting Brother Branham ahead of Jesus Christ, the creature ahead of his God. No wonder Brother Branham fell down and there was breakdown. He saw what was going on before the flood and it was so criminal to his tender heart and his conscience in Christ, it threw him into a nervous breakdown. I saw him in that position. Like a hunted trapped animal screaming out to God, tossing to and fro. I'd have taken a brick and tossed it. Listen, you birds, get off my back. I'll use this 4x4 on your knuckleheads and I'll show you who's God. Because I sure ain't. Just step all the way, let God deal with it. Like a wounded animal. Because they made the creature more than the creator. Creed in Christ Jesus. Oh, brother, sister, you can't see the handwriting on the wall 14 feet high where we're at. I don't know what's going on. Thank you. I'm going. You stay till I get out of here. I'm just kidding. That's rising business. I just tease you a lot to relax you, make you feel good. Look, I'm not here serious and mean and tough. You believe what you want to believe. But remember one thing, there's truth somewhere. Huh? Oh, there's now, Brother Jack got an announcement. Okay. Okay, Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the lovely people here. By the grace of God, Lord, we know there's no other reason. They wouldn't be here to hear a fellow like me. Even Brother Branham said that. These people wouldn't come for a guy like me. Why would they come for me, Lord? I don't have anything to commend me, Father, but I know one thing, Lord, if there's anything to commend, it's got to be something from you. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me to keep out of the way, Brother Bell to keep out of the way, your people here to keep out of the way, to let the Holy Spirit have the full scope of leadership as he ought to have, he's entitled to have. We thank you for the good time we've had together. May it not be taken from us, but may it come upon us more and more and more. As never before until we're truly filled word by word with the Holy Ghost of God, become the living statues, as Brother Branham said, a living statue unto God. We'll give you the praise for that, Lord. And Father, we know it's going to come to somebody. We trust it'll come to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bell.